after we get done with this. Philippians is kind of a, it's a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, and Timothy's there with them, and it's good. It's scripture. There's just not a lot of in-depth doctrine, except for we're going to pick the doctrine out of it. In other words, it's a letter. Paul's writing a letter. Well, of course, he's writing a letter to the Hebrews and all those other ones. But Hebrews and Ephesians, Paul covers a lot more doctrine than he does in Philippians. So we're going to read Philippians, and then when we get done with it, like I said, we're going to start the book of Revelation. Start chapter 1 and go over how many years it takes us, or how many we can finish it at the wedding supper. So, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are in Philippi, which it's us, true, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I was thinking about that this morning. Do we do that? Brother Dale says he gets up at night and he starts praying for everybody down all the pews. I mean, do we pray for our church? Or do we just pray for the prayer request that comes in over the internet?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? We need to take care of the home folks first. If the home folks are sick, we need to pray for the home folks first.
That's right.
Pray for the family. Now, I know that's family out there, but this is the family that we live with on a week-to-week basis. So everybody got that?
Yeah.
All right. But always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. It's like I was talking yesterday, and I want to thank the sisters that all participated yesterday in the youth thing for making all the hot dogs and the chili and the slaw and the putting stuff together and cleaning stuff up. Y'all did a great job.
That's right.
Thank you for doing that. I pray the Lord really bless. I always pray when we have functions that the Lord would give the sisters. You know, us men, we sit around and talk, have coffee in our hand, and and then we leave, and then all the sisters are all doing all the cleaning up, and then when they get home, you go, hey, babe, and she goes, I'm tired.
Hey, man.
But now, really, but you pray for the sisters.
Yeah.
Because they're, like Jim got here, what, 12:45 yesterday, and of course I worked, 8-hour shift before I got here, and so I got up real early and worked.
Yeah.
But Jim started at 12:45, and then others came in and graciously helped. But what I'm saying is, pray that the Lord will help them to strengthen their body and their mental attitude toward anybody else.
Amen.
Right. All right. So that says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, not being a drudgery. As we were talking last night yesterday afternoon in the youth, I talked on complexes. Same way with, listen, we're all going to talk about each other. We're just human. But have you prayed more than you talk about them?
Right.
If you pray for them more than you talk about them, they won't be so much talk about them.
Right.
So that's what we were talking about last night with complexes. I'm going to try to find that again now that we have the internet. But a long time ago, this guy sent me a little article how this psychologist had interviewed like hundreds of people. And he said most people spend 80% of their time worrying about what other people are saying about them. And the people that they're worrying about saying to them, 90% of the time, they ain't worried about that person that you think they're talking about.
Right.
And they're worrying about themselves.
Right.
So there's real complex. Even Brother Brown said he had a complex. Brother Brown started to quit preaching. I read all those quotes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Where Brother Brown come to a place, he said, nobody's listening to me. He said, I'm having a pity party, you know. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody loves me anymore. Nobody this.
Right.
So you build it. But you know what? There's one thing about a complex. God don't ever give you a complex.
Right.
Right.
So it's not a God thing that you got a complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's a devil thing.
Right.
And a lot of times, don't blame the devil. Blame yourself. Because Brother Brown said, we build complexes.
Right.
And he, you know what he said to take care of those complexes? Nope. He didn't say that. He did not say pray. Do the very opposite of what you're having a complex. If you're having a complex that you know, first, like he said, being stubborn was a complex. Being prideish. He said, do the vice versa. Because
yes.
It's your, you know, Bob can't help Frida if Frida's got a complex, unless it's between them. But he can't do anything. Even, sure, you pray for people. That's a no-brainer because of this. You pray for them, but still, you got, it's an individual complex you build. Nobody else builds it, you build it. Because really, complexes are not real. They're real to the person that has them.
Yeah.
But they're fabricated, in other words, what we were trying to say. They're all, like the psychologist, we fabricate that people are talking about us and they ain't even, they're worried about, listen, we were up worried about our own stuff, you know, our own lives and the things we do. But always be in prayer. If you pray for somebody more than you talk about them, you'll get along a lot better. All right? Always and ever prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day, in other words, the first day that we started this thing, he said, until now, being confident that this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, now, we're right up here against this day. He's back there in the back, first church age. We're over here in the end of the last church age, getting ready to get out of here, so we have come closer to performing the good work as we continue to get up the statue of perfect man, which comes to what? Brotherly kindness. That's what we were just talking about. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds, in other words, he was in prison during some of this time, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. In other words, he had grace for the people. God's got grace for everybody, but Paul had to have grace for the people. Brother Dale has to have grace for the people. We all have to have grace for the people. Brother Brown, I was reading in the adoption series, or listening to it. He said, my whole makeup is grace. His whole makeup. You say, oh, he's a prophet. He's a condemner. But remember, it's condemnation to turn down like Elijah. When Elijah came on the scene, Jezebel and all them turned him down. Well, that made condemnation. But Elijah being on the scene, that the widow woman believed what he said, believed who he was, and for 3.5 years her meal barrel never went down, and she ate, she was down to her last meal, and she believed. So in other words, a prophet comes to bring two things. He comes to bring judgment and redemption. Right? To bring everything back.
For two different groups, right?
That is correct. Two totally different groups, yes. Because you look at what Elijah, you see Elijah standing there, and he's condemning Jezebel, told him the dog was going to lick her blood, because she turned him down. She turned God down through him. But then you got a widow woman that come to the last meal of the day for her and her son, last meal of the whole time. She was scraping the bottom of the barrel, and he says, make me a cake first.
Yeah.
Now, how many of us would have done that?
Yeah, right.
Let's be honest, truthful. How many of us would have done that? But she got a revelation of who that man was.
Right.
She got a revelation. So if we get a revelation of who Brother Branham is, then we will get what? We will come under the grace. He brought grace. The grace of marriage and divorce. The grace of predestination. The grace of justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. The grace that he brought us. But now remember, if you don't, then you go back to the indictment. Where he indicted this generation, what? For the crucifixion of Jesus, second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now we're not under that. If you didn't crucify him twice. You understand? You're under the grace part where you got grace for marriage and divorce and grace for all these different things that, like we was talking about yesterday, we all got flaws. Everybody's got flaws. We can't look at one another and say, I did. We're all born in sin.
Yeah.
All sinners. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. All right? Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Or the, get rid of that. Let's see what that, we know that word is affection. There, as we see, not anatomy, but his affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, or truth. Well there, Sister Johnny, and now we're doing Philippians.
Okay.
It's gonna be kind of quick, because like I said, there's not a lot of doctrinal, he doesn't get real in depth because he's writing a letter, but it's still the Word of God, it's still eternal, it's still gotta be revealed to us, right?
It's full of grace.
full of grace. You're right. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. He's going up the statue of a perfect man. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, Paul's saying, look, y'all think I'm in jail, or that word turned out. Y'all think I'm in jail and it's something evil. Well, it's not. He was able to sit down and write the Gospels while he was in prison, and he really wasn't. The commentaries I've read, you see that he got people to come in and they fed him and they wrote letters for him. He was kind of under house arrest. I don't think he was way back in a dungeon somewhere, cold and sick all the time. No, I think he was kind of under house arrest. They kind of kept him here, you know, because even when they took him on that ship to go to wherever he was going, he was able to walk around the boat, you know, and he wasn't chained up. So, but any man, I would unchain him too if I stood there and said, look, nobody gets off this boat, we'll all make it alive. Because, see, they were getting ready to jump the ship. They were getting ready to try to swim to the shore. He said, no. He said, there was an angel stood beside me last night. And he said, if none of y'all will dive off this boat, we'll all make it. Well, now the ship tore completely apart. But nobody died. And they all made it to the shore, met these Indians, natives of the land, and helped sustain them. And even, you know, Paul got bit by the snake. And he just shook it off and didn't die. So they made him a god. Right. And I'm sure, you know what? It didn't go to Paul's head.
Right.
But God did do something through him. Right. He was a prophet. He did have a testimony. Mm-hmm. And they testified. Because you don't know. Them may have been cannibals or wanting to eat them or something. You never know. But they, after that, if you'll read your Bible, they just, you know, give them all kind of stuff. You know, right. Got them on another boat and sent them wherever they were going. Sometimes we need to take our circumstances and our, like we were talking about last night, take our complexes and make them into something, something that God can use. Because we were talking last night, if you believe that you're born again, if you believe you're a Christian, if you believe that you are a son and daughter of God, the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So all that you do and don't do, God saw you all the way through in the decision that you made. Right? And remember, God's no's are the best yeses. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were wanting to go a certain direction. And we were talking about, you know, the will of God last night. I wanted to bring that out, but we didn't have time. Is if the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, you say, well, then I can just go down this path, and I'm okay. It doesn't matter. You know, no, there's some times when God goes, that's not the path you need to take.
That's right.
When you keep coming up against a wall, like buying a house, I think that's what it was, they wanted to buy a house, buy a house, buy a house, trying to press into, well, you know what, God will let you press into it. But if he says no, then he knows that down the road, this line that you take, because remember, predestination is a predetermined destiny, but also God, knowing everything, knew what would happen to you if you bought that certain house, or if you bought that certain, or went to this certain job. You know, you think, we always do, we go, man, this, we try to figure it out. This is the job that I've always wanted. It'll be more money, and it'll be more this, and it'll be more that, and everything is going to look like we're going to, everything's going to work out. And then you don't get the job. You should thank God. Because he knows that something down that pathway in your Christian journey would get in the way. And then you see that many times then you turn right back around and you go in another direction, and it all works out really good for you. So. But don't press your luck.
Yes.
Don't push your will. What we were talking about last night, you still all free will. We all free more later.
Yes.
Even now. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. A lot of times, you know, I think about Brother Branham, and you talk about in the 30s and all, they really didn't have any kind of recording material, and You know what had to happen to get this message recorded on tape? World War II.
Yeah.
World War II, before World War II, there was just a little bit of RF or RF something radio, handheld. But in the 1940s, from 40 to 45, the technology of recording, because what they were doing was spying on people. Well, they were recording them on those 7-inch reel or on the LP. So the recording part started. The World War had to happen. And then Brother Brown comes up with 1947 is his first sermon that's recorded. Well, that's only a year and a half after the World War II was over. He said, we have some new equipment here tonight. And a lot of it, some of it was on a wire. Have you ever seen that? It's a wire. They recorded it on a wire. And that wire has different cuts in it. It's almost basically the same thing as an LP, you know, turn LP radio, record player. It had the little thing that went down through here like this. If you'll look it up, you'll see they had to turn it. When they turn it, there was a needle that would read or record what you had. It would made pits. Well, then they started putting them on the thing. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, same thing here. What happened to Paul and the having to be put in prison and all these different things was ordered of God so he could sit here and write 80% of the Bible. Okay? And go through the things that he went through. See, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. In other words, he was contained to that one place. And many of the brethren in the Lord, now the first thing we do is, oh gosh, they put Brother Dale in prison, oh my goodness. What are you going to do with that situation? They put Paul in prison, I'm sure they were like, oh man. We ain't gonna ever hear from Paul again, blah, 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 you know, circumstances, complexes. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Mm-hmm. Paul had to go to prison so that others could, it sparked in the others, so the others could take the gospel to the other people.
Scene.
Sorry?
He had to go off the scene.
That's correct. He had to go off the scene. You know, had to be hailed. Because remember, even during this time, he was headed to Rome. He really didn't get his freedom up until they chopped his head off.
That's right.
Back in Rome. So he was heading in that direction. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. Now, what is contention? Let's see what that is. That would be selfish ambition. That's what we must be careful of. We can't do it. Why are we going to? You need to preach Christ crucified, not out of contention.
Yes.
Not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds.
Uh-huh.
But the other of love. Yeah, I'm not going to explain that. That's self-explanatory. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I do rejoice. It's good to have somebody come by and preach a little, hey, baby. Hey, she's just waving. But it's good to have a little contention every once in a while. Shake the bushes is what we always called it, you know?
That's right.
The other night we had that big storm that come through, you know, and it blew all the dead limbs out of my trees, and that's great because the trees are over there going, man, this feels good. I got all that dead weight off of them. Of course, I had to go in and pick them up, but still. It shook the bushes, and what did it do? It got rid of the dead stuff, and that's what God ought to do sometimes, shake our bushes so that some of the dead stuff gets thrown in the trash or burn in a burn pile.
Yeah.
This man loved pyro.
Pyromaniac.
He'll burn anything. What then? No, I got to be careful because it's on the internet. I'll not tell you all the things he burned. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How about that? But watch, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now as Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For now he's down to verse 20, he's preaching a sermon, in other words. But watch, he sums it up in one verse. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The whole part of this, you know, it says, should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He surmised the whole thing, summation is, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What was happened up there? He was put in bonds, but he had taught the other preachers, and the preachers went out boldly preaching the word of God. And he was a witness. Now watch. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. In other words, his choice was, remember, he gets a choice here sometime. He says, I'd rather die, having desire to depart. For I am in a strait betwixt you. What? He's standing there going, man, I'd rather be with Christ because I've come to a place that I'm okay, everything's fine. He knew it was. And he could go on, but he had to stay because his journey wasn't totally fulfilled. He hadn't got finished with his journey. He's run the race. But watch. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Right. Isn't that right? He said amen? Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. See how Paul is a servant? He'd rather just go on. Going home, be with God. But he said, not for you. For you, I'm not going to do that. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. In other words, his work wasn't done. I believe God revealed to him his work wasn't done. That your rejoicing shall be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again, getting ready to travel. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
And in nothing, look, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries.
Right.
Paul wasn't scared of anybody.
Right.
No one.
Right.
He was scared of no one, because he knew who he was, he knew what he was doing there. And in nothing, let's look and see what the footnote is on there. No way. So that's pretty plain. In no way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, which we know what perdition is, destruction, but to you of salvation and that of God. So there you got your two opposing forces anyway. It's condemnation to some, it's revelation and predestination and all that to us,
right,
that receive the gospel. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and they're here to be in me. In other words, some of you are going to be put in prison.
Yeah.
Some of you are not. Some of you are going to have to die for the gospel. He'd already seen several ones that have passed on and died, and he wasn't very far. Who's got a Scofield Bible? Look on the, what AD is that? AD?
64.
He died in 66, so he was 2 years before he died. If there be therefore any consolation, now remember, this is the continuation of that letter. Man put chapter 2 in there, but remember the continuation of the letter. Watch, right at the very end. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me,
right.
If there be therefore any consolation, see, he's continuing his thought. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Like Brother Branham telling us, stay with the message, stay with the message, stay with the message. Paul's saying, stay with the message, only preach what I preach, say what I say, right?
Right.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves.
Can you read that one again?
Yeah, read that one again.
Which one? Number three? Verse 3? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. I am, Brother Dale's the best that I've seen, that he has not ever put himself on a pedestal.
Right.
He's always the needs of you come first. You say, well, I remember. Well, you know what? Shut up. Okay? He's a human. All right? But in most 99.9% of the things, tell me where he's put himself first.
Right.
He does not put himself first.
That's right.
And that's what Paul's saying. Look, you esteem others better than themselves. Listen, as we come and we minister, all of us should come to this conclusion that if we get up in front of a group of people and they're hungry to hear from God, doesn't matter if half of them are asleep, if they're hungry to hear from God, you've got a duty to be a servant. You serve them what God's give you.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing for yourself, no personal agendas here. Because if you get in a pulpit, it's like Brother Claude said, and I love what he said. He said, if we get in a pulpit and we preach a sermon and we think it's the most eloquent sermon we've ever preached, if we have caused confusion in the church, we have not done our job. And that is not God, because he is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
If we stand in a pulpit and we preach a sermon and people get confused,
yes.
Now, not understanding is different from being confused.
Right.
Okay? You can say, well, I don't understand that, but when somebody's going, I'm just confused. We need to go back and research ourselves. That's why it took so long when I was doing the seals. I mean, you take a year, and Brother Branham preached them in a week. Brother Dale preached them in 60-something sermons. Well, mine was probably 100-something, a year and a half. So we're trying to break it down so that you can understand the simplicity, not the complexity. A lot of times you do go to sermons and you go, I don't know what he said. Well, please tell us if we're doing that, but we're trying. Right before I come out of every sermon that I preach, I raise my hand to God and say, God, whether I have a headache, whether I've got stomach trouble, whether I've got trouble in my home, whether I've got trouble, whatever, I said, you use me to give something to the people, regardless. If I be a castaway, that's what Paul's telling us. Though I be a castaway, help somebody. Now, it's not going to help everybody.
Right.
Because remember, some people go out of the sermon and say, well, he called me a buzzard. Some people are going to go out of the same sermon and say, well, he called me an eagle.
Right.
Okay, so you're not going to, it's like I told the youth last night. I said, look, we're trying to answer these questions to make you better, to help you not make the mistakes we made, because we went on out and did things that we shouldn't have done. All of us did, whether it be minor or major.
Right.
It's all major to God.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the Brother Brown said, there's no little sins and big sins. It's all sin. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to help you so that we can open a channel that we know you're going to have problems. But we want to make it so much easier. We want to trim out all the things that we had to go through into our adulthood, into the message. But remember one thing. We sat up there and answered for 2.5 hours. We answered 14 or 15 questions, somewhere in there. Now, some of them may not have been covered as much as we should have, but for time constraint, but it's not a cure-all. In the gospel, you can't say, what is the new birth, and be able to explain it in 15 minutes. You just can't do that.
Right.
But you can bring enough to where that's, and that's what I told them. I said, look, if you're asking questions to get an answer, but you're not living the life of Christ, then what are you asking the question for if it's not about salvation? Everybody got that? You know, tell us about, one of the questions. Just tell us about this. Well, if we answer that question, we're answering it, and Bob did a real good job, and Louise too, Joe helped, to bring a Christian view of it all. But if you're not a Christian, it's just going to be you're asking a question to get an answer so you can go do something. Sometimes people word questions that it's not really a question. It's trying to trap you into allowing them to do what they've already set their mind to do. They just want to ask that question and get you to make a comment or that's what I meant about that. If you're not living a Christian life, then when we give you a Christian view of it, it's not going to work.
Right.
I mean, I don't want people to come in and go, and use this for an example. She's got a question about how do you get closer to God? Now, she asked me that question, how do you get closer to God? Okay, I'm going to tell her to read her Bible and study. Now, if she doesn't do that, like I said before, people ask questions and they go, here, can you answer this question? And you answer the very question they ask, most of the time, they're not even in church that day.
Yeah.
I'm going to preach.
Right.